Today's shiur will be beginning Maseches Bava Basra at the bottom of Pei Zayin Amud Beis. Before we begin the shiur, we highly recommend printing out the daf, and even better, ordering your personal volume of Maseches Bava Basra, Shas Ozer, the pre-marked Gemara edition. Last time, we left off in the middle of a discussion. The discussion surrounded the issue of a controversy between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda regarding the breaking of a flask. The issue came up as whose flask was broken, and we saw in the structure of the Gemara a series of attempts to explain this machlokes tanoim. We're at number 3 in that series. The series continues to Pei Ches Omid Aleph, and this was featured by a series of diamonds accompanied with a double underline, the double underline highlighting the name of the explainer of that particular stage. The issue came up concerning a man that sent his child to a store owner in anticipation of a sale of oil. He sent with his child a coin, and the issue of a flask came up in the sense that the flask was broken. We are not sure whose flask was broken. Continuing in the series of answers, Elo Abaye Bar Ovin v'Rabbi Chanino Bar Ovin, the Amri Travayu, Hocho b'mayaskinon, the case of the broken flask where the Chachomim said that the store owner is guilty, is culpable, and the Rabbi Yehuda holding that he's not culpable. This is talking about Kigon. We're now at the top of Pei Ches Omid Aleph. Kigon Shenotlo Lomud Bo. The store owner took the flask from the child's hand in order to measure out oil for the child. So, whose flask is this? One can see, can understand from this, the flask is not the store owner's. Rather, the store owner is taking the flask and using it. Let us glance at the Rashbam at the bottom of Pei Zayin Omid Beis. El Abaye Bar Ovin, Rav Chanino Bar Ovin, the Amri Travayu. Loi Sukma, don't set up the Mishnah, as was set up before. Loi Bechenvoni Mocher Tzluchios, not involving a case of a store owner who himself was selling flasks. That was an answer that we saw at stage 2. Veloi bebal habayis mocher tzluchios, nor where the father was a seller of tzluchios, as was presented in stage 1 of the answers. Elo hocha, here in our stage 3, betzluchis hamiyuchedes lamido askinon, it's a flask whose primary purpose is for measuring. We'll call it like a measuring cup. Venotlo chenvoni miatinok lamud bo. The store owner took it from the child to measure out oil with it. Litzora chatinok, for the child's benefit. V'afagav di'avedo midas hi, even though the father had sent it with the child. And as such, one might have thought it's tantamount to his throwing it out. And as such, there should be no expectation to compensate for its breaking. Kevon Shenotla, once the store owner takes it from the child, Nischayev Bishmirosa Achiachsirena Liyodu Shalabala Bayas, the store owner becomes obligated to guarantee the welfare of the vessel until it gets back to the hands of the father. So even though there's this interim stage where the tzluchis seem to have lost value in the sense that it was called, as the Gemara referred to it as Aveda Midas, nevertheless, this seems to be the chiddush. At the point that the store owner takes it from the child, the store owner becomes obligated to the welfare of the vessel. The Gemara continues, Uchid Rabo, and this is in accordance with the teaching of Rabbah. Now, it's important to preface that Rabbah's teaching has nothing to do with our topic. as far as vessels owned by store owners, but it has the tie-in, has the relationship to our sugya in the sense of points at which a person becomes obligated. The topic Rabbah is dealing with is that of returning a lost item. Hashavas Aveda. We know that in the realm of Hashavas Aveda, if a person found something, but it's not in character of that person to preoccupy himself with such lost items. Imagine a very distinguished individual finding a lost cow. One doesn't, and the Torah itself does not expect the very distinguished elderly man to preoccupy himself with drawing a cow through the streets of town to find the owner of it. However, this is Rabbah's halacha. If the distinguished individual got involved, he didn't just notice the animal, but he hit the animal, possibly with the intent of directing the animal in a certain direction, even though not taking the reins of the animal and dragging it along, but he merely hit the animal. At the point that takes place, the distinguished individual becomes obligated to deal with the item. So any physical action concerning a particular item thereby creates responsibility on the part of that individual. That's what the Gemara records here in a very terse fashion. We said Uchida Rabo, the Omar Rabo, Hikisha, hitting the animal, hitting the lost animal, in the case of the lost cow example we used before, Nischayev Bo, he becomes obligated. How does that connect with our case? So at the point that the store owner took the vessel from the child in order to measure with it, he, the store owner, becomes obligated. The Gemara asks, Emor diyama rabo bebali chayim. It could very well be that Rabbah's halacha regarding responsibility applies to animals, specifically animals, living creatures, de an ketinu nigro braisa, that they are accustomed to running away. That once you got involved with the movement of the animal, we can say that only encourages the animal to run further, to leave its bounds all the more. Ki hai gavno mi omar, would Rabbah have imposed his teaching regarding our case and an inanimate item like a measuring cup? The Rashbam explains the expression to an kito nigri baraisa hilkicha psiois chitzonios klomar hirgila livroach. The Leilich Merachok, he's made it accustomed to running away and running at distances. And because of you're getting involved with the animal and causing it to run even further away, that's why there's obligation. But as we said, that logic doesn't apply to an inanimate vessel. That brings us to a fourth stage of explanation. Elo Omar Rabo Rova Ani Vari Shebachaburba Targa Minua. I and the lion of our group, meaning the outstanding one of my colleagues, explained. And the Gemara imposes here a comment. Umanu Rabbi Zera, who is that Ari Shebachabura? That's why we have this in a bracket, so as not to confuse the reader as to what the role of these three words are. Umanu Rebbe Zera simply is explaining who the Arisha Bachabura was. But anyway, what is their explanation? Hocha b'mai askinan, kegon shenotla lomud bo le'achirim. The chenvoni, the store owner, took the measuring cup from the child in order to use it for his own benefit, the store owner's own benefit, to measure for others, other customers. Ubeshoel shalom idas komitligi. And the issue at hand is an issue of shoel shalom idas, meaning someone who borrows something without receiving express rights. Mar sovar, Rabbi Yehuda, who exempts the store owner from the eventual breaking of it, calls him shoel havi, categorizes the store owner as a shoel, as a borrower. And as such, when he returns the item to the point from which he took it, namely, he returned it to the child's hands, he is thereby exempt. Umorsav are the chachamim who obligate the chenvoni, hold gazlon havi, that a shoyel shalomidas is categorized as a thief, and as such, he is not exempt from the breaking of it. The exemption could arise only at the point that the item is restored to the actual owner's rishus. But up till that point, the store owner is held guilty, culpable for whatever happens. So with that, we've concluded our four-stage analysis as to what the subject of machlokes between the Chachamim and Rebbe Yehuda in the Mishnah regarding the breaking of the flask. The Gemara, at this point, continues with a reference back to a topic that was mentioned in the Gemara quite a bit earlier. In stage one of the analysis that we just completed, we saw an issue concerning a customer that checks out a vessel with the anticipation of buying it if he likes it. And that was Shmuel's halacha. Here, the Gemara quotes that halacha in order to find where this quote is coming from, so one can take advantage of the arrows that one sees in his Gemara to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Tosfos. One notices an arrow with a Pei Zayin Omid Beis note to it. So one can glance back to Pei Zayin Omid Beis and find the corresponding arrow whereby it says Pei Ches Omid Aleph next to it. And you'll notice there, more than halfway down the page, a reference to Shmuel's halacha. So the Gemara continues. Gufo Omar Shmuel. Hanoitel kli min ha'uman levakroi. Venenas biodoi chayov. Person who takes a vessel from the artisan, in any case involving a manufacturer of a vessel, and who made it for sale, you walk into his shop, you pick it up, you're interested in buying it, but you just want to check it out if it's to your liking, and it slips out of your hands, you're chayav, you're obligated. Vehani mili, when do we say there is obligation? Who? The kitzi dome, where there is a set price to the item. Let us glance at the Rashbam. Underneath the Gemara text, Vahani mili de kitzi dome, shedom of ktsutsim. It has a fixed price. Kegon rechayim shel pilpulin ushar kilim ktanim shedarkon le'olam loses beposhut poshut. Where these small grinder is the example the Rashbam is using, or other small vessels where there's a fixed price, a certain amount of coins that one pays for it. Uvenedorim muki lo lahod Shmuel betara harifa bedvosha lokhin kovtsin olav. Maseches Nedorim, the Gemara sets up Shmuel's halacha as regarding an item that there are a lot of purchasers interested in it. The seller isn't so interested in dafka, in specifically this particular customer, because he knows there are a lot of people that are interested in it. And there are many people that would be interested. It's a popular item, so that when this particular customer walks in, he isn't filled with joy and glee in that, hey, finally someone's come in and is interested in it. Very profound idea here, that because the customer is so happy to find this item which is in high demand, his joy and sense of satisfaction and accomplishment in finding it causes him to be chayev in even things that are beyond his control. That's chayev and oinsin. So this is what completes the responsibility and obligation, namely the happiness of the customer in finding it. With that having been said, we continue in the Gemara. We just mentioned that the obligation of the customer, if any onus happens, is provided the item has a set price to it. Before we go on in the Gemara text, we'll glance at the note on the side, because we're now encountering a new geometric form, and in our Gemara marking system, geometric forms represent series of items that are to be connected up. In this case, when your eye notes the triangle, your eye glances down, scans the page, and you notice another one a few lines later. What are they doing? So we glance at our topic heading and structural note that accompanies this edition of the Shas. On the side, Nosei Mivneh, so we notice a triangle. Beis Meisim, two incidents, Hamivusasim al Dino Shel Shmuel, that are based on Shmuel's halacha. The Hanote El Chefetz Biyodoy, Amanas Vivdok, Echuto, that one who takes an item in order to check its quality, Bekavono Liknoiso, with the intention of buying it if it meets his standards, Venenas Biyodo, and it slips out of his hands, and it breaks, Chayav, the customer is duty-bound, is obligated to compensate for the breaking. So we now see two incidents based on that. The Gemara continues, Hahu Gavra, particular man, the Earl, the Bey Tabcha, who went into a butcher shop, Agbo Atmo de Bisra, he picked up a cut of meat in order to see if it's a rich type of meat or kusha, where it's dried out and not rich. Behadi de ka agbo, as he was picking it up, also parsha mirmo mine, a horse rider came by and swiped it away from him. Also the kame de Rav Yemar. This case came to Rav Yemar, Chayvei Lishlumei Domei, and Rav Yemar obligated the customer, potential customer, to compensate for it. Vahani Mili, Hu Dekitzi Domei, provided that the cut of meat was a cut of meat with a fixed price attached to it. And this is in line with the teaching of Shmuel that we noticed just before. Another incident, Hahu Gavro Daisi Kori Lefum Nahara. He brought kori, it's a type of vegetation, sometimes referred to as a dalas or pumpkins. The actual literal translation is something that we don't obligate ourselves to in our presentation. But suffice it to say, a type of vegetation. And the fellow brought these kori to a place, Pumnara, name of a place. Also kule alma shokul kora kora. Crowds gathered and started taking one after the other, and it seems that the seller here lost control of what was going on, and in order to stop the crowd from rushing on his merchandise, Omar Lahu, he announced, Hare Hein Mukadoshim Lashamayim. They are dedicated to the temple fund for holiness. The Rashbam explains, a few lines under the Gemara text, Omar Lohen Harehein Mukdashim Lashamayim, Lafisha Lohoyo Yodea Mimi Yishamo Osofi. So we said he lost control of the crowd. He didn't know from whom to ask for payment. Hoyo Rotsila Ostranolem. His desire here was to forbid the Kori, the merchandise on them, on the public. The case continues. Osu Lekameid Rav Kana. Omar Lahu, the case came to Rav Kana, and he said to them, Ein odo makdish dovor sheinu shelo, that the seller cannot sanctify that which is not his. Namely, it seems that once the customers picked up the kori, the items, they became the owners of it. Vahani mili, when is it that we say that they already became the owners by their picking them up? That's provided there's a fixed price to those kori. Avolo kitsi domayu, if they don't have a fixed price, birashus morayu kaimi v'shapir akdish, they still are in the domain, the ownership of the seller, and hence his declaration that they're mukdoshim l'shamayim would in fact be binding. Before we continue in the Gemara, we'll take a glance at our topic heading on the side. we're also using a slash marking between this section and the previous section to indicate that this is a new train of thought. The topic heading on the outside margin, the notes say, Chover Shegomar Belibo Liknois Yerek Me'am Haaretz. A chover is often translated as a friend, but in our case, it means a person who is careful in the practice of tithing. He took, picked up some fruits in the marketplace with the intention of buying them, and he was buying from someone who's called an amoris. Amoris is someone who's not necessarily careful with the practice of tithing. The note continues, V'achar kach shino daito, after the chover picked up the vegetables, he changed his mind, and he's not interested in buying them. Mahu le'inyan hafroshas demai. What halacha applies in this case regarding the necessity to tithe that which there is a doubt about them? Demai is a reference to produce that you're not sure of whether the original owner tithed them. In general, there is a halacha that a chover is not allowed to sell or to have pass out from his domain, from his ownership, merchandise that has not been tithed. So people who are careful in tithing know this halacha, and they know that they're not allowed to part with, to sell, to transfer to others stuff, vegetables, fruits and vegetables that have not been tithed. What we have to analyze is, what is the status of these vegetables at the point that the customer, in this case the chover, what status do they have regarding his own ownership of them? Bearing in mind, he's merely a customer. The Gemara continues with a framed section of text. In our marking system, we have chosen to frame those pieces, those sections that are of Tanaic origin, whether they be Mishnayos or Brises that the Gemara quotes to make its point. And we also take liberty of framing restated texts of Tanaic origin. Tanu Rabbanan, Halokeach Yerek Min Hashuk, a chover, a trustworthy person in the issue of tithing, picks up some vegetables in the marketplace, and he's taking it from an amhoretz, ubirer vehiniach, ubirer vehiniach. And he's searching through the merchandise to see what he likes. Afilu kol hayom kulo, even if he's doing this all day, lo kona v'lo nischayev b'maiser. By his merely checking through the merchandise, he does not become obligated to take care of the tithing. However, gomar belibo liknoisoi, he, at the point that he's checking out the different vegetation, vegetables, he decides, oh, this I like, and I would like to buy this. Kona v'nischayev b'maiser. He becomes obligated to care for the tithing, to take care of that. Now, let us imagine that he decides afterwards that he doesn't want to buy it. So the source continues, Lehachziro efshar shekvar nischayev b'maiser, to plop it down on the rack where he found it, he can't do that because he became obligated to tithe from it. Uleasro efshar mitneshe mafchison bedomim, and to take out a few stalks from the bunch that he had originally wanted to buy but now decided not to. He can't take out a couple stalks of vegetables because that will reduce the value of the cluster of the bunch. Let us take a look at the Rashbam. He says, Ula Asro e Efshar, the Achakach Yachziru Lamocher, for the customer to do the tithing and then return the now tithed bunch to the seller, he can't do that. Sharei mafchiso bedomim shenismait hachavila kedei meiser. It's been reduced, let us say, by 10%. There's 10% less in the bunch. So the seller who had a certain price for the bunches, he's now going to be charging that same price on a bunch that has less material in it. So what does he do? The source continues. We go back into the Gemara text. Ha ketzad me'asro. The customer, who in this case was the chover, he does in fact tithe it. V'noisein lo yidamei meiser. And he gives the store owner the value of the meiser, and thereby restoring the cluster to its proper status. The Rashbam says, Ma'asron v'nosein lo demei meiser. He says, Ma'asron v'nosein la levi. He gives the tithe to a levi. V'nosein lo demei meiser. Machzir es ha-moiser be'ein. And he gives the payment of the demei meiser and returns the cluster as it is. The Gemara now comments. Otu mishum de gomar belibo liknois kona v'nishayev v'meiser. Simply because the customer intended to buy it, that makes him obligated to take care of the tithing. The Rashbam explains this as follows. Otu mishum de gomar belibo liknois kona u'meiser bitmiyo amai. He says in wonderment, why is that? Ho afilu ikaitzi domayo, even if they had a fixed price, yochol la'achziron, he can return it. Filehadrinu v'liftar, let him just put it back down on the shelf and be done with it. So the question is, why does this source obligate the chover to take care of the tithing simply because he decided to buy it? The Gemara explains, Omar Rav Hoshaya, Hocha B'yorei Shomayim Askinon. Here we're talking about a God-fearing individual, a person who actually imposes upon himself stringencies that don't apply by letter of the law. Kagoin Rav Safra. The example, the archetype of this type of behavior is that of Rav Safra. Dekayim B'nafshe V'dover Emes B'lavavo. One who speaks truth even in his heart, even in his thoughts. What's the story involving Rav Safra? So here we look at, once again, at the Rashbam, who reveals to us this remarkable event. The Rashbam, Rav Safra, havi kori kriyashma. Rav Safra was in the middle of reciting the kriyashma, the Omar Leo, who gavro havli iskoch bekach vekach mois. And someone walked by and noticed that Rav Safra was selling something, and he offered to Rav Safra for the item in question. He offered a certain amount of money, and Rav Safra did not respond because he was in the middle of reciting the Kriya Shema, where there are rather stringent halachas applying to what under what circumstances one may interrupt. One of those circumstances is not a person coming by interested in concluding a sale. However, the fellow didn't realize all of this. V'savar v'mishum mi'ut domim havei shosik. The customer thought that Rav Safra's silence was simply because the offer was too little. V'helo lo domim merubim. And he talked to the unresponsive Rav Safra and raised his offer. U'la'achar tfiloso lo rotzu lekabel ela b'mi'ut mois horishonois. Rav Safra, when he finished his praying, he refused to accept the raised offer, mishum degomar belibo lahaknoise bekach, because upon hearing the original offer, that already met his satisfaction, met Rav Safra's satisfaction. So we see Rav Safra's behavior was simply by his original silent acceptance that bound him. V'achinami gabi meiser. Kevan de Yorei Shomayim Hu, so too in the case of the tithing, since we're dealing with the customer who was a Yorei Shomayim. Kevan Shigomar Belibo, since he concluded in his heart to buy those vegetables, true, he changed his mind later. Zocha b'mekach v'nischayev v'meiser. He is said to have been one who acquires the item, and as a result of acquiring that item from an Amoretz, he's also obligated to take care of the tithing. From a demise standpoint, a standpoint of doubt. V'chimachziro kechozer u'mocher lo domi. And by his putting it back on the shelf, it's as if it's a new sale of the item, and as such, the chover is obligated to take care of the demai tithing. As we continue in the Gemara, we encounter a new Mishnah. On the side, we have a topic heading that nosei kinuach midois mishkolos moznayim, the necessity to clean off scales and weights in order for the scales and weights to be accurate in the measuring that that takes place. Hasiton mekaneach midoisov echad l'shloshim yom. Siton is a wholesaler. He's a vendor who deals with large quantities of sale. He's obligated to clean off his measuring vessels from coagulated wine that may have accumulated there, and he cleans them once every 30 days. Ubalabayas echad l'shnei mosachodesh, a private person who from time to time conducts sales from his backyard winery. He is expected to clean off his measuring vessels once every 12 months. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Chiluf HaDvorim, he switches around and holds that the Siton is one who is obligated to clean it off once a year, and the Balabayas once every 30 days. Chenvoni Mekaneach Midoisov Pamayim B'Shabbos. He conducts sales, the Chenvoni conducts sales on a more regular basis than the Siton and the Balabayas, hence he's obligated to clean off his vessels twice a week. Umemache mishkaloisov pam achas b'shabbos, and he is also supposed to clean off his weights that he uses on a balance scale once a week. There is an illustration that accompanies these items in the Book of Illustrations, the Pirush Chai, illustration 668. The Pirush Chai, authored by Rav Chaim Porush, is a book of illustrations that we've been making reference to along our study of Maseches Bava Basra. So he illustrates the scales and the weights in picture 668. Umekaneach moznayim al kol mishkal u'mishkal. And the bowls of the scale, in the balance scale, he's expected to wipe them off, wipe them clean, after every measure, after every weighing. Omar Shimon Gamliel, Bamed Vorm Amurim, Belach. All of these cleaning obligations are said when dealing with liquid items. Avol biyovesh eino tzorech. With dry items, there is not this obligation. In the case of liquids, the feeling is that there's debris and residue that remains, hence the necessity to care for the cleanliness of the weights and measures. V'chayov lehachria loy tefach. There's an illustration that accompanies this point, illustration 669. The vendor, the seller, is obligated to make sure that the side of the balance scale that has the item of sale on it, that it weighs down a tefach more than the side on which there is the weight. Of course, this guarantees that the customer will get his full amount and a little bit more. If the weighing was one of an exact nature, then no sein lo girumin echod la'asora belach the echod la'esrim biyovesh. The seller is nevertheless obligated to provide a little more, known as 1/10 more in the case of liquids and 1/20 in the case of dry. That's as far as the literal explanation of the Mishnah is concerned. The Gemara will itself deal with some of the details of this later. Mokom shenoagu lomud bedaka, lo yomud begasa. In a place where the custom was to use a small measuring vessel, he's not allowed to measure out using a large measuring vessel. Begasa lo yomud bedaka, and likewise the other way around. If the custom is to measure out in a large, using a large measure, he's not allowed to measure using a small measure. Let us look at the Rashbam. Lo yomud begasa be'se'ah. The saw is a large measure relative to the kav, which is a small measure. To have a hefsid de lokeach, by measuring out with a large measure in a region where small ones were used, the customer loses out. The ein loy mi shisha kavin kiim hechrea echad. The oved chamesh hachrois. A kav is 1/6 of a sa'ah. So let us say that someone was buying a sa'ah of merchandise. The custom in that particular place was to measure out with a small vessel. So in trying to buy a sa'ah, there would have been 6 motions of measuring in order to achieve the sa'ah measure. In the 6 motions of measuring, there would be this balance in favor of the customer on each measure, each time. It's called a hechreya, where it weighs out a little more for the customer. The customer would have benefited by 6 of these hechroos. And if, however, the vendor chooses to do a one-time measure of the saw, using the saw vessel, the customer will be getting only a one-time extra balance, extra weight, extra measure, and hence losing out on that opportunity of having total of having 5 more. The Mishnah continues, Limchoik, if the custom in a particular place was to level out the measure to make sure let us say, for example, someone is buying flour. So the flour is filled up in a vessel, and the seller, if the custom is to level off the quantity, then lo yigdosh, then he's not obligated to have it godush, which is have a type of a heaping feature to the quantity being purchased. And likewise the other way around, ligdosh, if the custom there is to have a heaping measure, lo yimchok, then the seller, the vendor, is not allowed to level it off. Mino hani mili. The Gemara asks, and the hava mina here is, that from where do you know, and this is a question based on something that will actually be changed later in the Gemara, but the question for right now is, from where do you know that you have to have a tefach hachro, that the vendor has to have on the side of the scale where the merchandise is locating, where it weighs down an additional tefach than the side on which there are positioned the weights. We now see a Roman numeral number 1 in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos text. In order to appreciate the structural note, we'll glance at the outside margin. We notice their mivneh, structural heading, 1 and 2, Shnei Shlovim Levarer Al Eza Din B'Mishnah Shayach Mekoro Shel Reish Lakish. Regarding which halacha in the Mishnah is the source that Reish Lakish will be citing. In other words, Reish Lakish will be bringing to the fore a posuk. And what the Gemara is going to clarify is in the 2 stages that are featured in the markings is regarding what halacha does this source apply. So the Gemara asks, as we thought, what is the source that there has to be a hachro of a tefach? Omar Reish Lakish, domar kro, the posuk says, Even Shlemo v'tzedek, which means, Tzadek mishelcho v'tein lo. The Torah is addressing the vendors and says, that add a little bit from your own and then give. The Gemara asks, if that's the application of the Pasuk, namely, that the Pasuk is telling vendors, you must add a little bit before you conclude the sale, Yachi Emo Seifa, then state the Seifa of the Mishnah. Hoya Shoikel Loi, Ayin Ba'ayin, Noisei Lo Girumin. The Seifa described a person weighing out in an exact fashion. And on in that case, so the weighing was done in an exact fashion. Then we say that the vendor is obligated to add a little bit. But as far as the weighing is concerned, that was done in an exact fashion. V'i hachro de raisa, if as was suggested just two lines above, that the weighing itself must be done in a non-exact fashion, namely, the weighing must be done in a way favoring the customer. Hechi yohiv lei ayin b'ayin, how can the weighing be done in an exact fashion as was suggested by the Seifa? Ella, we have to come to a new understanding. Reisha b'mokoim shenohagu. The Reisha, which mentioned a practice of weighing with a tefach advantage to the customer, where the scale on the side of which there is the merchandise must weigh down a tefach, that's talking about a place where the minig is to do thusly. Namely, the posuk is not dictating that practice. All the posuk is saying is that in the case of sales, the customer must benefit by some type of addition, whether it be during the time of the weighing or afterwards. The Gemara continues, V'chi itmar de Reish Lakish aseifo itmar. As far as Reish Lakish's citation of a posuk, that refers to the information contained in the Seifa. And once again, you see a framed section. This is because we're encountering a quote from a Tanaic source, in this case, our Mishnah. Hoya shoikel lo ayin ba'ayin, if the weighing is done in an exact fashion, noisei lo girumin, the seller is expected to throw on a little more. Mino hani mili. So on this we ask, what is the basis of the expectation that the seller is supposed to add to the weighing? Omer Reish Lakish diyama kro v'tzedek. Sadeik mishelcha v'tein lo. Give a little bit extra from yours, from your own, and then give to him. V'kamo girumin. How much is this girumin? The Mishnah said that if you're weighing out in an exact fashion, no se lo girumin. How much is this extra addition? Omer Rabbi Abba Bar Momol, Omer Rav. Echod me'asora belitra. Bilach li asora litrin. Even though the Mishnah seemed to answer the question by saying echod asora bilach on the second line from the top, nevertheless, we're seeing that it's explained a little bit more carefully here. It's 1/10 of a litra when there is a sale of 10 litrin. So if you're selling 10 litrin, it's 1/10 of 1 litra, which comes out to 1/100th of the sale. We continue in the Gemara analyzing this topic of additional merchandise given to the customer. Echod l'asor b'lach v'echod l'esrim b'yovesh. There appears an arrow in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos text that indicates one should try to find a parallel arrow, and if you scan upwards you'll notice there in fact is such a marking, such an arrow, simply pointing to where this quote is coming from. The Gemara asks about this measure, Ibaya Laho. The question that we're going to be dealing with focuses on the Yovesh, on the issue of the dry measure, the addition in the case of the dry measure. You'll notice in the question of the Gemara, that the liquid that's mentioned is the same on both sides of the question. Ibayalo hechi ko'omar. How is one to understand that which was stated in the Mishnah? You'll notice here there's a little aleph. Where there's an aleph, one should try to note where is the base. The structure of the question is very standard as far as Gemara learning is concerned. It's called the aleph oy dilma beis structure. Is it like possibility A or possibility aleph or possibility beis? Within the aleph o dilma beis structure of the question, you'll notice also a little 1 and 2. Because under each side of the possibility, there are two sub-factors. And to make things simpler, you will notice that the issue concerning the lach is the same on both sides of the question, on the aleph side and the bay side. So the question continues. How are we to understand the issue of additions in the case of these measurings? And again, we're focusing on the dry measure. Echod me'asora belach le'asora delach. Is it 1/10 of a unit of measure when 10 units are being sold? The echod me'esrim biyovesh le'esrim diyovesh. And on the issue of the dry measure, is it 1/20 of one unit when 20 of those units are being sold? For in simpler terms, 1/400. Oidilmo echod me'asora le'asora delach. Notice this is the same as the case for the example one under aleph. Is it 1/10 of a unit when 10 units are being sold in the case of liquid? Ule esrim diyovesh. The term echod me'asor is carried over to the yovesh example, whereby you have 1/10 of a dry unit when 20 of those units are sold. Namely, the total fraction would be 1/200 of the sale. So on side aleph of the equation, the question was, the additional dry amount, is it 1/400 that the seller is expected to add, or is it 1/200 of the amount being sold that the seller is expected to add? As far as that question is concerned, teku, that remains unresolved. We see a slash marking indicating that the continuation of the Gemara is a new thought. On the side of the Gemara, as we've been doing already a few times in our study today, we're going to notice the topic and structure here, in this case the structural note. We notice a triangle. These are Sidra Shel Meimros Rabbi Levi, a series of comments that are authored by Rabbi Levi. And we'll notice till the end of the page, we'll be seeing three of these. Omar Rabbi Levi, Koshe Oinshon Shel Midois Yoiser Me Oinshon Shel Arayis. The punishment for violation of weights and measures is more stringent, and this, of course, is a comment that the Gemara will analyze later, but it's said to be more stringent than the violation of immorality. Shezeh ne'mar bohen eil, v'zeh ne'mar bohen eile. In the case of immorality, the term eil is used, es hato'evois ha'eil. In the case of violation of measures, the term ile is used, indicating something of greater severity. We notice brackets. Brackets indicate the need to skip for a moment the enclosed section. And let us do that momentarily. Gabi arayas nami hoksib ele. Notice how we skipped two lines. And we see the Gemara asks, why do you say that weights and measures are unique in the use of the term ele, indicating their severity, when in the case of immorality, the same expression appears as well? Before we deal with that. We're now going to go back over the enclosed section. When brackets appear in our marking system, they often are accompanied by a note indicating the role, the purpose of the brackets. In this case, on the inside margin, you notice there was an asterisk in the text drawing your attention to that inside margin. Note, Sograyim l'shem dilug, the purpose of these brackets is for the purpose of skipping momentarily, kidei l'hokel al retzef hakriya, in order to make the flow of the reading easier. In our case, we did that by showing initially how weights and measures is considered more severe by the appearance of the word ele, and immediately raised the question, but the word ele appears by immorality as well. What about the enclosed section? The Gemara continues in the brackets. Umay mashma dehai el koshehu. From where do you see that the term el indicates something of severity? Dichtiv. The pasuk says v'es ele haaretz lokach. In the context of this pasuk, the term ele, which is related to the word el, indicates something of strength, of severity. So the Gemara asks the question we saw before, Gabi Arayas Nami Hoksiv Eile. By immorality we see the same expression. The Gemara answers, Hahu Limute Midois Mikores. The term Eile in the context of immorality was to set it apart from Midos, namely that only Arias has the penalty of Kores attached to it, as opposed to Midos. So Eile, meaning immorality, has Kores, and only it, as opposed to Midos. Now, we know that Kores is a rather severe punishment for the violator. Kores is interpreted often as being cut off. Possibly dying earlier, or not having one's children dying, or punishment in the world to come regarding neshamas. Whatever the specific interpretation one gives, one sees that kares is a rather severe penalty. And now we're telling you that only immorality has the kares, as opposed to weights and measures that doesn't carry such a penalty. So if that be the case, how can you say earlier that more severe is the violation of midos than immorality? Vela mai odfayu. If, as we said, Arias has kores and midos does not have kores, so in what aspect does midos appear to be kosher, more stringent than immorality? The Gemara answers, the hosam efshir b'tshuva. In the case of immorality, there is a possibility of doing penitence. V'hacha loy efshir b'tshuva. When one has weighed merchandise to the public in an inaccurate fashion and cheated out the public, there is no possibility of doing total penitence. Who are you going to return the unlawfully taken money to? You just don't know who to return it to. This point is emphasized in the Rashbam. A few lines up from the bottom, you'll notice approximately 6 lines up from the bottom, a dashed underlined section. And we've emphasized there, Avol Midos, Shegozel, Esarabim, in the case of inaccurate weights and measures where you're, in effect, stealing from the public, E.F. Shaloi B'Tshuva. It's impossible to do complete Tshuva, because in the case of theft, the Tshuva, that's the penitence that's expected is returning the stolen item. But you, in this case, don't know from whom you took extra money. Continuing in the Gemara, V'omar Rabbi Levi, Koshe Gezel Hedyoy Yoyser Mi Gezel Gavoa. Stealing from one's fellow man is considered more stringent than stealing from the holy fund. Shezeh, in the case of Gezel Hedyot, as far as the psukim are concerned, the verses are concerned, Hiktim Chet Lemi'ila. The word Chet, indicating sinning, appears before the term Mi'ila, the term referred to the unlawful benefit. V'zeh, in the case of stealing from the holy fund, hikdim me'ila l'chet. So the preeminence placed on the word chet, referring to the sinning aspect, is given preeminence in the case of stealing from the hedya, from fellow man. The Omar Rabbi Levi, boy ura'e shelo kemidas hakadosh baruch hu midas baser v'dam. Come and see how the ways of hakadosh baruch hu are different from the ways of man. In this particular section, we've also employed the use of a diamond marking. And if you look at the page, you'll notice the diamond appears around the expression HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and afterwards around Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara is going to make reference to two parshios in the Torah, known as parshios of Toichecha, of admonition, of punishment, if you will. One appears in Vayikra, in Bechukosai, and the other one appears in Sefer Dvorim, Parshas Kisavo. The point of the Gemara will be to show the mercifulness of the Kodesh Baruch Hu as being something superior to that of even the likes of Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKodesh Baruch Hu Beirach Yisrael Be'esrim Ushtayim V'kilulon B'shmoina. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, when coming to blessing Israel, he blessed them using the 22 letters, and he cursed them using only 8. What does that mean? How does that apply? The Gemara will illustrate. Birchon ve'esim ushtayim me'im bechukosai ad komamius. The section in that parsha dealing with the blessings starts with the letter Aleph, and the end of the section of blessings ends with the letter Tav. And as you can see in our text, we've emphasized those letters Aleph until Tav. Fekilulon b'shmoina. Because the cursing was using 8, and how is that seen? Mi vid im bechukosai tim asu ad v'es chukosai goalo nafsham. If one counts from the letter vav from the pasuk v'im bechukosai from in the letter vav in the Hebrew alphabet till he gets to the letter mem that ended the section of curses, one notices there are only 8 letters. V'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu Berchon b'shmoina v'kilulon b'esrim ushtayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, in Parshas Kisavo, where he's featured as the speaker of the psukim, Sefer Dvorim is unique in the sense that much of it has Moshe Rabbeinu as being the speaker, as opposed to the rest of the Torah, where Moshe Rabbeinu is, in a sense, he's taking dictation. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the Gemara goes on, we said Moshe Rabbeinu blessed them with 8, and the Gemara illustrates that Birchon b'shmoina mi vit hoya im shamoa tishma v'ad le'ovdaim. The psukim of blessing start with a letter vav, and that section of blessings concludes with the letter mem. As we saw before, from vav till mem, you're covering 8 letters. V'kilulon b'esr mishtayim mi vehoya im lo tishma ad v'ein kone. Here's a little tricky. You're going from the letter vav. If you count from the letter vav, which is emphasized in our markings, and you want to get to the letter hey, so you have to count vav and keep going on, zayin, ches, tes, etc., until you get to the letter hey, you've in effect gone through the entire alphabet, 22 letters. With that, we conclude our shiur for today. Okay.